Praise the Lord. I love that homesick song. I reckon my whole life this time of the year, I would think a lot about my dad. His birthday was on January. His birthday's January the 1st was his birthday. And I'd always call him at midnight and have everyone sing him a happy birthday. Used to do it all drunk when I was in high school, but I remember doing it in this church, and I was still drunk. And we all sang him happy birthday. But I used to go down to Sunflower, Mississippi to visit my grandparents, and I'd spend the summers down there when I was like 8 years old, and we played Little League Baseball down there. And I was like the star of the team, so they're all waiting for me to come down. So I thought I was important. So. But I can remember that as the summer went on, I would miss my mom and dad, like a lot. And then when they finally were coming down to pick me up, then, you know, when you're a kid, you acted like, oh, I didn't miss you. But I can tell you I missed him a lot. And that's what that song always reminds me of. But I work at an airport out in Gardner. I tell you what, today it was kind of chilly. And when you read that scripture, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath day nor in the winter time. You wouldn't want to be traveling. I'm glad he's drawing us up to where your flight's not going to be on that day. But we don't have very many people that work there, and there's like probably 10 people that work there. They all know I'm a Christian. And the Lord had me give this guy a Bible. Got his name on it, and I believe giving you a Bible with your name on it, because God wrote it to you. But I was at work, and I wanted to give it to him today. And I actually came up here to repent. I was asking God, now, Lord, I couldn't open it up to give this guy this Bible today. And I was kind of joking around with him, you know, it didn't seem like much. But when he started saying that at the first of the service, it was more to God than, I mean, I felt pricked in my heart. How come I couldn't give him this Bible? Because you're acting like the world, Tim. You got to act different than that. See, you want to get along with people. There's something inside of you, you want to get along with them. So you kind of want to act like them so you can get along with them. And it didn't seem like I was doing that much. But it was like, no, they're either going to want it or not. And you got to live it with all you got in front of them. And then that they see they want that, they'll either hate it or there'll be no middle ground to it. They're either going to hate it or they're going to want it. And I just wanted to get up here and repent of that.
Yeah. As only God does what he does. To put inside of us a sense of what the world needs, I did a funeral. Fred, come on up. I did a funeral for a man who'd gone to the church for a while, and then he went back into the world, and while he was there, he contracted a disease that he died from. And he started coming back to church when he found out that he had this disease, and I saw God do things in his life. He'd been here before, but he was casual about the things of God. He'd been drawn, but he wasn't surrendered. But when he came back, he had a different frame of mind. So we did his funeral here, and because he was a construction worker, all of his construction worker friends came. And there was a man at the church that was also a construction worker, and he wanted to do part of the funeral because he was his friend too. And I brought a touch from God about The wages of sin is death. Not because I wanted the man to die from this disease, but he didn't have it when he was here at the church before, and then he went back into the world, and the world sought a way to kill him. And then when I turned the funeral over to the other brother, he immediately identified with the rough and tumble, excluding almost everything about Christianity, because he wanted everybody to know that, hey, I go to church here, but I'm one of you. And if you're one of them, then you have nothing to do with God. And on the day of judgment, you will have denied him in front of people. And Jesus said, if you deny me, I don't mean with your mouth. You don't have to say, I deny him. But if your actions deny that you believe in a real God, and let me tell you something, if your conversation is filthy and vulgar and your mind appears to be in the gutter and you're always talking about things that are against somebody in the body of Christ, you're actually talking about God, yeah? So that's what we want to clean up. We want the spirit and presence of God to move on us and create in us that confrontation that does confront people about, hey, don't go back in the world. If my friend would have confronted his friend, don't go back in the world, instead of acting like he was macho enough to understand why he would do a little sin and do a little of this, we wouldn't have been doing the funeral. So you and I are really the epistles that are awfully important to be read. And you and I want the spirit and presence of God to prepare our hearts and move in us in a way that we can show the world. And many of you are doing that. I'm not saying we're not doing this, but we want to redouble our efforts to make certain, like Tim said, that we don't do something foolish before we have an opportunity to do something right. Because we want the spirit and presence of God to be glorified in our living. As only God can do it. All right. Fred said he would minister tonight. I thank God for that. I believe Greg's going to minister tomorrow night. So I thank the Lord for everybody that's here. We've got a whole lot of folks that could minister. So I didn't leave you out because you are a left out minister, but we'll have a meeting in the summertime. I think we need to do this about 5 times a year. So, but I know that the Lord knows how to bring us into that place of unity. But I think these days where things are rapid fire, God remembers and then he reminds us. He remembers and reminds us. Because he remembers what it is that we're crying out and praying. And it's great because we pray for particular things for God to do in our life. And when he begins to do it, we forgot or we don't understand that this is the answer to our prayer. Yeah. So we're begging him, okay, Jesus, stop. And what he's teaching us is, you know what, I'm going to change you. You won't be the same. I'm going to make you different. I'm going to do to your flesh what you need done to your flesh for me to perfect my church. And that won't be our consent until we surrender. Yeah? So we want that surrender time.
Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, this goes without saying, but what a blessing to be here tonight. Amen. And just feeling God's presence like that is such a precious thing. To think about how God has done so many things to every one of our hearts and our lives to bring us to the place where we're at tonight. Let's just thank him for that before we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are just more than miraculous. You're more than amazing. God, you have ministered to us. You have started out by paying such an amazing price that's unbelievable for each and every one of us here. God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the price that you've paid for us, what you've done for us. But that wasn't where it ended. Because of what you did for us, you're continuing to work in every one of our hearts and our lives. And Jesus, what an amazing Father you have been. We don't deserve what you do, but one thing it is teaching us every moment of every day is about an amazing grace that the Apostle Paul said, I've learned that your grace truly is sufficient. If it could take a life that is wrecked and ruined and destroyed and of no value to nobody else, and take it up out of that miry clay, set it on that rock to stay. But tonight we're thankful that it doesn't have anything to do necessarily with us, but just yielding. Not us doing the work. Not us somehow or another figuring out how to get saved. But just relying on that precious grace tonight. And I'm thanking you for this privilege tonight to come and be with these precious people, these saints of the Most High God of Israel. God, that your presence, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for ministering to them the way you have, for them being here tonight, bringing them here. And I thank you for your precious name being lifted up tonight and your spirit having its total way in everything that's said, everything that's done. We praise you for every song. We praise you for your presence moving. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you speak to every heart and mind with your presence, God. In your precious holy word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm thankful tonight that when you see how things are going in the world every day and understand that there's something much greater to put our confidence and trust in today. It's just a blessing. And more we find ourselves just relying more on the Lord than we've ever relied on Him in our life. And that's a real blessing in itself because we've always needed to rely on Him. I mean, it's not like we just were sitting around not relying on Him. But as things begin to crumble and unravel and we begin to see the things that's going on from all the disasters we've had, to the things that people are talking about and the things that they're doing, and you start understanding, wait a minute, they just don't have a hope. And I really felt like the Lord laid a particular scripture on my heart here about a little less than a week ago. And then I just wanted the Lord to have His perfect way. But I really believe with all my heart that, especially the way that Ron started the service, and Tim coming up and talking about it. We'll go over to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to just start by reading one scripture out of Matthew chapter 5 to begin with. And I'll read just verse 16 to start with. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So I know there's not a person in this place tonight that their hearts don't want to bring glory to God. Our desire, our lives, once we found out that He gave us so much and He means so much to us, that there's nothing in our life that we want more. There's no greater desire in any one of us today than to bring glory to the name of the living God of Israel. We want Him glorified in our life. We want Him exalted. We want Him lifted up. We want Him magnified. This scripture right here is saying, let your light shine before men. Not an interesting statement? You know, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Amen. So there's not a person that is sitting in here tonight that has not had the power and illuminating presence of the living God of Israel bring you light. So when this scripture kind of came to me, I started realizing, wait a minute. If that light was brought to me, and I got exactly what the woman at the well received. She received the Spirit of God touching her life in such a dramatic way that she no longer wanted to just go back to the house and get a cup of coffee that morning and say, hey, that was really cool talking to the Messiah. Nobody can do that. If you have been touched by the King of Glory, if you've been blessed by the power of the living God of Israel, if that King's presence chose you, because He's got to choose you, and you were the chosen person that He chose you, and He called you, and He ordained you to receive the light of life, and He says, all you have to do is you just have to follow Me. Then it's like you get in this line, and then all of a sudden your life becomes that example that says, hey, listen, I want to glorify God. So He's saying, okay, you shine your light among men because they're going to see your what kind of works? You don't have bad works when you're serving the God of Israel. Let's explain something here. Let's go just one step farther with that. See, let me tell you something. The rest of the world don't have anything but bad works. I'm going to explain to you, I was in the world. Some of you guys might have been raised in a Christian home and you didn't experience what the world had. And I'm sorry I did. Really, honestly, I'm sorry I did. I'm telling you what, when you are in situations where you have no idea if you're going to live or die, and that just becomes your lifestyle to say, okay, I'll just continue to live the way I'm living and I'm going to keep doing it. And yet the power of God just keeps coming and He puts His protection on you. It's just like, man, one morning you wake up and you say, I'm out of here. Right, right. I can't stay here. I can't stay in sin. I can't stay in the bad place. Right, man, getting shot at is no fun. Getting in jail cells is no fun. Getting in places in life that you just find yourself all the time because it's bad. And when you experience that and then you experience the gift of the living God of Israel, this indescribable gift that the Bible talks about, it's not something you can even describe without that power of God inside of you telling somebody else, have you ever experienced in your life something coming in and it doesn't just come in, it doesn't just move in. To just come in. Comes in to change every thought you have. He comes in to change your life. Ron was just talking about that brother that went back to the world and he wouldn't even have had a service if it would have been a different situation where his heart, after he'd been touched by God, after he'd been ministered to God, he was doing exactly what God had called him to do. Follow Jesus. Who's the light? So then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. So it's everybody's saying, well, man, I don't know what I have to tell the world. You tell the world you're following the greatest hope that you ever had. He brought you light like you never saw, and He brought you out of darkness. He brought you freedom and liberty and a hope you never had. I heard a testimony just tonight, and I knew that the Lord was kind of ministering some things to me, but I heard a testimony about that Kim Meter that does the horses in Bend, Oregon. But I haven't heard her for a long time. I got on Sharon, had the radio on them when she went to town. And I just reached over and turned it off because it was somebody talking. And the minute I turned it off, I says, hey, that's that Kim Meter. And I turned it back on. She said she walked into a store and she said there was a bunch of people in a line. And God told her to speak to the girl that was there. And she's just arguing with God. And she's saying, God, I can't. These people are in line. They're going to be mad at me. Everybody's going to be mad at me. This girl's waiting on everybody at a Goodwill store. And she just looked over to that little girl and she said, I'm going to tell you something. She says, God just told me to tell you this. And when I was 12 years old, my dad shot and killed my mom. And then he turned the gun on himself and killed himself. And I was 12 years old and I ran out into the field. And I just ran as far as I could run and I laid down and the power of God came on me. And I found hope in that field to take me through something. And she says, I do not know why I'm telling you this, but I'm telling you that God told me to bring this word to you today here at this Goodwill store. And she said, the tears filled up in this little girl's eyes. And she says, I've never told anybody this, but she says, my mom passed away when I was 12 years old. She says, right there in a Goodwill store. This girl received the same hope she received out in that field, running away from everything that she had experienced in her own life. And I know there's some people here tonight have been trying to run from the things that's in the past and the things that's going on in your hearts and the things that's going on in your life. And God brought you here tonight to tell you you're done running. You're done trying to figure out a way to find what everybody else in this place has or what's going on in your life. And it's not going, you figure it out. Hey, I'm not quite measuring up. You don't measure up. I don't measure up. But the power of God said, I brought you a light that's going to illuminate your life. It's going to change you in a way that the rest of the world is going to look at you and say, I see Jesus Christ in you. They're not going to see Fred. They're not going to see Ron. They're not going to see Sharon or Rachel or anybody, Kevin, Donnie, anybody in this place. They're going to see the presence of the God that illuminated their life and brought them a power and a hope that went way past yesterday, went way past the day before. It went way past what everything that the enemy tried to do to keep you from being able to take that light to the world. Because if you start reading the scriptures about that, Jesus told them, you are the light of the world. Amen. The very scripture above that says, you're the light of the world. Because he knew those men would follow him and get in a place where their hearts were set free and their lives were set free. And then all of a sudden the good works started coming from God because they started following Jesus. And then all of a sudden people started saying, how do I get this? Just think about Peter for a minute. He denied Jesus 3 times, and when that power of the living God of Israel poured out upon him, the Spirit of God started moving on his life. And that first message and the first time that he started ministering, like what, 3,000 people are there and saved and touched by the power of God and will ask, how can I? That's an amazing thing when God starts moving on a person's life. Leonard Ravenhill said this, you don't have to ask people to repent. They'll come and ask you, how do I repent? You're talking about a change. You're talking about how you got where you're at. I want you to tell me how I can get where you're at. I'm telling you today, there's a power that goes way past. I'll never forget, and a young guy was coming to the Bible studies we was having in Trenton years ago. And he called me that morning and he says, hey, Fred, I totally forgot. I got a court appointment today. And I says, well, hey, I said, I'm working. I can't go with you or nothing. I'm sorry. He said, no, don't worry about it. My mom's just going to take me down. He said, I'm going to go to it and I'll be right back. I called his mom afterwards. I said, hey, how did that court hearing go? She said, well, they put him in jail. I said, they did what? Now he's in jail. Just about a night or two before that, I had watched a program that Art Linkletter had on. And on this program was, he was at Attica State Penitentiary. And Art Linkletter's daughter had walked out of a second or a third story window on drugs and died. And so Art Linkletter got so despondent after that, and he called a friend that was a Christian. He says, man, what could I have done? What should I have done to help this girl? And the friend just says, Art, the truth is I don't know those answers. I really don't know. I don't know what you could have did, but I know somebody that does. And he started talking to Art Linkletter about the light, about this hope that would illuminate his life. And from there on out, it would start changing things in his heart and his life. And Art Linkletter accepted the Lord and turned his life over to the Lord. And what this man told him, he says, is, Art, what you can do is you can start ministering to other people so that they don't end up in the same situation that your daughter ended up in. He was at Attica State Penitentiary. And the guy that I heard speak was a guy that was, he had 2 life sentences. And a minister came up to the door of his his cell and told him he wanted to talk to him about the Lord, and the guy spit on him. And he said, when he spit on the preacher bowed his knees at the door of this guy's cell. And he began to hear this guy praying for him outside that door. And he told everybody at Attica State Penitentiary, he said, as soon as that man started praying, he said, my whole cell illuminated with a light that had never been in that cell the entire time I've been in there. And I knew it was a power that was not of my own or his. Given an opportunity to let that Spirit of God move on a heart and a life and change them, it's God. God, I'm giving you an opportunity to do what you've longed to do in my heart so long. Bring glory to the name that you always brought glory to. That's exactly how you live. You haven't changed. So why would I think you have changed? This guy said the power of God hit that room, and he asked that minister, hey, man, I'm telling you, I want to change. And I don't remember exactly the details, but he was out of jail at the time. He was in Attica State Penitentiary and testifying about a power of God that could come into a cell and change two life sentences on a man that deserved to have them. So I watched this deal, and they gave all the statistics on this about how guys would go through struggles and problems in prison, and then how many returned back to prison after they spent all the money they could, all the resources they could to rehabilitate these guys. 80% of them were still coming back. So I just want, the Lord just set this up. So I jump in my car, I tell my work, hey, I'm gone. I go to McCook. I called Ron before I left. I went to the house. I called Ron, and I was talking to him. I said, I know Apostle Paul was in that prison, and Ron says, and I know a friend that was in a prison. God set him free. I got in that car. I said, be praying, Ron. I said, I'm going, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to let God take this light and illuminate something there because I can't set it home no more. See, once when that power touches you and you remember where you came from and you remember the things that you went through and God sat there and just minister to you in such a way that only His power can. He's longing to bring that light to other people's lives. So I'm telling you, I drove to McCook. I pulled into an attorney's office. And it's right. I went to the courthouse and there was an attorney's office right across the street. So I go over there and I say, hey, can I talk to an attorney? The receptionist says, well, what's this about? I said, well, it's very important. I have a brother over in the jail. And I need to talk to an attorney about it. So I just went in there and I said, hey, I don't know what I can do about this. But he's over there and he can't stay in that jail. He just looked at me kind of puzzled. I said, he needs to be out. He has two kids. He tore his whole house apart and the whole front of his house is out. I says, can he go on a work release program or something? And I started giving him all the statistics about the guys that were in prison and didn't get out. He stared at me for just a second. He says, let's go talk to the judge. That happened. I follow an attorney over to the judge's chambers in the courthouse. I sit down and talk to that judge, and I said, judge, listen, that's my brother-in-law, and I'm going to tell you something. He's got a whole house wide open. Can he go on a work release or something? And I said, I'm going to tell you something. He's been reading the Bible. He's been praying. He's been serving God for the first time in his life. He's trying to change. And I don't think it's going to do him any good to sit 30 days in that jail cell over and his family just be torn apart. A judge, he says, we'll put him on a work release. So I went downstairs and I'm just blessing God. God, thank you, Lord of glory. I go down there and I ask the receptionist at the sheriff's office. I says, hey, since I'm going to Trenton, can I take that guy with me? She says, there's no way. She no more than said it. And the judge come right down them steps. He says, hey, since you're going to Trenton, would you take him with you? Yes! That is my God.
I worked for the same farmer that Ron introduced me to, and we had just butchered a beef. I called Sharon from that courthouse. I said, would you put some steaks on the skillet? I will be home with Richard, and we're going to eat before he goes back over. And he only spent nights in that jail cell for 30 days. When he went out of that jailhouse, I heard a whole bunch of commotion going on in that jail. I says, hey, Richard, was that Buddy? I used to work with that guy. I said, it sounded like a guy I used to work with. He says, it was. I said, what was going on? Was there a fight? He said, no. He says, Fred, when they put me in there, I told them, I'm not going to stay here. I don't know how God's going to get me out of this jail cell, but the God I serve is going to get me out of this jail cell. And he said, when that guy came down and opened that door, the guy that I've been talking to kept saying, he kept laughing and saying, oh yeah, God, how's he going to do this? Is he going to drop something out of the sky and snatch you up? Or he just kept making fun of it the whole time? No. He's just going to bring the jailer with a key and open the door and say, you're going home. I'm telling you, God is looking for opportunities every one of our hearts, every one of our lives. I want to go over and just read a few scriptures in the 9th chapter of the book of John. We just read this scripture not too long ago. But you guys, I'm telling you something. I was even thinking about going back and reading some of Matthew 5, because you know what I found out rereading it again? Is that there's a little footnote in the bottom of my Bible that I have here. And it talks about how that all the way through Jesus dealing with the law, just above where we're at right now, or just after, it's just after it, he's dealing with the law. And he's helping everybody that had lived in the law understand. Well, you think you do great because you don't murder? Well, the real problem is you have a whole bunch of hatred in your heart. So what's different? And so Jesus is helping everybody understand, look, if you trust me and allow my spirit to come inside of you, you won't have hate for a brother, because remember, he just told you they'll see your what? Good works. Because you're following the light. And everywhere you go, something's going to be illuminated. If we only understood, you guys, I'm telling you. You know, I was... Okay. Refocus. Because I just had some things going through my mind. I want to jump here. Let's just get back on John chapter 9. So... We'll just read a few verses through here, because I feel... it's just exactly like what's going on with each and every one of our lives today. And God's dealing with our hearts, dealing with Tim today. He's been dealing with me. You know, I don't know. It is the most, each and every one of us know. And when you be obedient to God, this has nothing to do with me. But the other day I was driving around, and I actually came by here to do something at the church, and I didn't have the other handrail to put up, so I didn't have it to do it. And so I went up and I looked in Ron's other truck, and it wasn't in there. So I just left here, and I thought, man, I just feel like going over to the bus barn. And my supervisor, it's just like I really had a real drawing to talk to him about the Lord and stuff. And so in my heart, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to go over and talk to my supervisor, obviously, about something. I even went to Dollar General, and I turned around in the middle of the highway before I got to the stoplight over there. And I said, no, I am not going to Dollar General. I'm going back to the bus barn. I go back in there, and my boss wasn't around, but there was just one of the mechanics. And I walked in, and just within 2 minutes, we're talking about the Lord. And he looked at me, he told me at 18 years old, I gave my heart and life to the Lord. I just looked at him, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what happened. Well, he says, the first thing that happened, he cut me off. He says, the first thing that happened, he says, I went to church, and everybody there was, they live one way on Sunday and live another way on Monday. He says, then, Fred, and so I talked to him about that. He says, then I had a really bad relationship. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't blame. Nah, he said, I did. I blamed God. I blame God that my relationship didn't go very good in that situation. I just flat out told him, I said, you know what? I said, you can't live that way. You can't look at things that way. Because the very one that is helping you, the very one that's there to take care of things in your life and help you through the bad relationship, because I went through a really bad relationship. And I said, I kept telling everybody, and I was an idiot, I'm just never getting in another relationship. Now, how dumb is that at 20? I'm serious. You go through something and you watch your kid take off and you just go through struggles after struggles after struggles because you was disobedient in what the Lord told you through your dad not to do. I'm just telling you, that was a consequence for me. But it didn't make me feel better. So young people, if I could tell you anything, get the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians out and find what the first 3 verses say about your life. It said it's the first commandment God thought was so important to make a promise with, that He will promise each and every one of you, if you just live for Him and honor your parents, days will go well with you, things will go well with you in life, and you'll live for eternity. He's going to bless you. But it didn't work that way. I wasn't obedient to what my dad said. And that's how I got away from the life myself. And I just made a horrible... And once you make one bad mistake, you just get used to making bad mistakes. How can you do that? I look back on my life and I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how I could do that. But I did. I got so used to hanging with the same cruddy people. I got used to doing the same cruddy things. I got used to being in that type of a lifestyle. Which helps us understand that the rest of the world may not be where they're at today because they want to be. They may have been just like me and just like you and got used to hanging out with cruddy people. And they just ended up there. God wants to set each and every person free, and it's going to be because the light in us. I sat and talked to that guy about it. I was so blessed. I went out of there just crying and saying, God, touch this guy. Touch this guy. Minister to his heart. He said, Fred, I used to love singing gospel music. He said, I would go anywhere and sing gospel music. He said, I got used to doing it, and I love doing it all the time. And I said, it's about time for you to go. And I stopped over there the other day to invite him to church again because we was having these meetings. And he says, my wife's only off Thursday. I said, great, then it'll be Thursday night. Is that what you're telling me? He says, I don't know. I said, well, I'm going to count on it, but you just call me and let me know and I'll save you a seat and sit with me. He says, man, I got to tell you something. He says, for Christmas... He said, I don't read very well. But he said, for Christmas, my wife got me a little deal like a CD, and she got me the King James Version Bible. He said, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I can hear the Word of God being read to me all the time. He says, I'm going to bring it in and show it to you. I says, you bring it in, because I said, I'm going to get me one too. Isn't that amazing how the power of God can just get somebody's mind off of where they've been, what's going on, because the illuminating power of God. And you, guess what? You're the light of the world. You're the one that'll make a difference in so many people's lives. So, here in John chapter 9, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? He was born blind. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash into the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You know, I'm going to stop here for a minute because I just want to read through here, but you know, sometimes just like Jim was talking about, just like Ron was talking about, do we always wonder why or what the issue is going to be is why we don't do this more often? Just exactly like these parents are saying, it's more important to be in the synagogue than it is to be a servant of the Most High God of Israel. And that was their concern. I'm just thinking, how could you pass up your son? And here he is saying, "Hey, you guys didn't commit no sin. Everybody that you know today in this Jewish temple, they're all blaming you for doing something." Here the guy that comes up and protects them and says, "It wasn't the parents." And do they stand up for him? No. And it's about time we do. It's about time we do. Because you know what? At the same place you and I needed out of where we were at when he found us, there are people still in those places today. And I can't picture leaving somebody in a battlefield that don't have any way out and know how to get out, and maybe they've been wounded really bad. And I know the healer and the deliverer. And I know the way out. And I would leave them there. I got to read something from C.S. Lewis about right now. He said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven inexcusable you." That's how we learned, you guys. That's how we learned. The only reason we're where we're at today is because of the power of God that could bring us here. And He can do that to anybody. That's how what He showed to me. That He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever even ask or think, because I'm saved and rescued by His power. Now, what we want to point out here is this, in John chapter 9 here, is that we're just about done reading it. So, was it 23? Yeah. 23, "Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. I know not. But there's one thing I do know. That where I was blind, I now see. And you know what? Each and every one of us can say the exact same thing that this man today. That's something about you and I. We didn't understand. We didn't know what God had done for us. We didn't have an understanding in our heart and our life. And God made a way. He brought somebody in your life. He brought somebody in my life to say, I'm not leaving you where you're at. I know you're wounded. I know you've been lied to. I know people have deceived you. I know you can't like where you're at. Listen, let me explain something to you guys. You go talk to the world, because I'm going to tell you something right now. There's not one of them that will tell you, I want to stay where I'm at. Right. Young people, kids, I know them. Had them come to my house and tell me, I don't believe in God. Man, you can't not believe in Him. You can't. He's done way too much for me. You stay around the light that He gave me very long. And you're going to walk in a courtroom and five charges, three of them, two of them that was federal, or felonies. Not federal, felonies. Two of them were felony charges, charged it as an adult. And all five of them is going to be taken away from you. Because there's a light that wants to show you how much He can do for your life and how much He can do for your heart. That's what God will do in each and every situation, given the opportunity, right? So this guy here is kind of a cool guy. I like this guy because his parents are bailing on him. Just ask the guy. Just ask this guy what he knows. Because we don't know. We just know that it's our son. He used to be blind, now he sees. Okay? So then he goes, 25, he answered and said, I now see. Then said they to him again, what did he eat to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already. And ye did not hear, wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? You guys, this is a blind beggar guy. And once he had been touched by the presence of Almighty God, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You were around him. If you would have felt this, you know what God was doing? Jesus was trying to take a person that was born blind that he already told everybody, his disciples, this is so the glory of God could be seen. We read the scripture over Matthew 5, how to glorify God, right? So I'm about to do a work here of my Father, and the people that really want to hear and the people that really want to see are going to glorify God. And if it's just the guy, well, what he was doing, he was taking something that was impossible, like a blind man, to get a whole crowd to see. Isn't that interesting? I was praying the other day, and I thought, man, isn't this an amazing story? Because Jesus would take a man born blind to get the rest of the world to understand they need Him to see. We can't see on our own today. There's no way you can see or I can see without the same God of Israel opening our understanding in our eyes. Is that right?
Amen.
So, Ron was talking about the Hebrew children. I thought about them in the same time. It took three guys that wouldn't surrender to teach a king how to surrender. The very thing that he wouldn't do, they did. So he would get surrender to what God says. This whole kingdom's going to honor your God. He answered them, I read that. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as far as this fellow we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. And I'll tell you what. Just a touch. So this is kind of like the woman at the well, isn't it? He had an encounter with Christ. And that encounter was going to be touch everybody that got around. Even if it was opposition. Honestly, this is a story that is just amazing to each and every one of us, in my opinion. Because this is opposition from his family. This is opposition right off the bat from everybody that he would have known was in the temple. And now all of a sudden he's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, okay, let's read just a couple more verses and then we're done. This marvelous thing's happened and all you guys are trying to make an issue over it. You're trying to drag it down when it's really the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to anybody. And that's what he says here. Listen. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. I'm telling you, this guy had to know the word. To be able to be telling them, let me explain something to you. This don't just happen, guys. You spend every day in the temple trying to please everybody and show everybody and be in a McDonald's and serve everybody else. Go back to serving God. Because when you serve Him, you're going to bring honor to His name and people are going to see His light. Then since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, dost thou teach us? Well, I can tell you every one of them that were there regretted not hearing him. Because every one of them needed something in their life. And this one that could open the eyes of the blind today could do everything they needed. He was provision for everything they needed for eternity. And he was trying to bring them to a place to understand, look, why would you fight? Why would you rebel? Why would you come up with other answers but just follow? Man, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Well, isn't that a statement? Who is he, Lord? That I might believe on him. Anything you say, anything you do, I'll believe it. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I come into the world, that they which see not might see. Isn't that a cool judgment? Where most people are looking at situations and saying, man, I don't know if I like judgment or not. He's saying, listen, I want to explain how my judgment is. My judgment is, if I understand you can't see anything, I can bring sight to your eyes. That's exactly the way he judges things. I'm telling you, each and every one of you here are that way. Amber don't get in a car and because a kid spills a cracker on her seat or anything, she gets up and just starts getting angry about it. In fact, most of those kids, I can promise you something, will tell you, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do something in your car. Like the little guy the other day, she was buckling in. He's 4 years old. Do you mind me telling that? And she dealt with the parents that were there a little bit, and she realized, wow, these guys shouldn't have a four-year-old little guy. So she went out there, and he kept throwing her hands off and wouldn't let her buckle him in. She just sat down beside him and says, hey, listen, bud, I want to take you to a visit, but legally I have to have you strapped in. I don't want to do it, but to get you where you're going, I'll strap you in, okay, bud? He looked right over, and he says, while she's right, reaching across that strap, I really like you. Light to a four-year-old when he never had seen light is what God's wanting today. I want to just pray with everybody tonight because I want you praying for me. I know that God has got a desire for the things in our lives, in our hearts that God's already done in your life. Most people are saying, well, I'm not a real fluent speaker. Well, let me explain something to you today. I'm not a fluent speaker. Right? No. Ron's not even a fluent speaker. Celine, Donna, Kevin, everybody that's in this place is not a fluent speaker. So the enemy can say, well, you know, Fred could get away with this. Ron could get away with this. What would he do in a situation like this? Justin, Beth, John, Matt, whoever. But the problem is the fluent speaker now dwells inside of you. He's the light of the world. All you're doing is following Him. And you're letting that presence that He brought in your life illuminate somebody else's life by you getting up and asking. In the fifth chapter of the book of Luke, I love it because Jesus just uses these guys as boats that had toiled all night long. Have you ever toiled all night long? I have. And you toil and you toil and you're thinking, man, there is just no fish in these waters. I'm a professional fisherman and I can't even. My dad is going to be really angry when I get home with this boat because you wasted all night. You wasted my time. You wasted everything and you got home with no fish. After Jesus uses it to minister, He just says, hey, cast out into the deep. Let down these nets. They said, Jesus, listen, we toiled all night. But He said, nevertheless, at Your word. The difference, you guys, is that God's word.
Amen.
So all of us are asking God, God, what word in my heart and in my life? What do You want me to say? What do You want me to do? God, I know that light dwells in me and I know that You want that light to illuminate other people's lives. And I want You to minister to them. If You can fill their boats with the fish as You did and tell them they'd be fishers of men, God, I guarantee you, You can touch the men at work. You can touch the women at work. You can start dealing with the people that I'm around. Because that's what God wants in our life, is to illuminate other people's hearts and lives. I thought I kind of made a mistake with my supervisor one day. And I shared this kind of with you guys. He started talking to me about he went to a Catholic church. And I said, well, yeah, my whole in-laws were Catholics. But God touched them. They're not Catholics anymore. Because he met the Lord. And I just told the Lord when I got out of the van, I said, God, I'm telling you something right now. I thought that was you. And I'm just leaving with you. If I lose my job, if I do whatever, I wouldn't leave somebody in a Catholic church when my father-in-law was right up in this church right here and he had a stroke and he came here so that the Lord would touch his heart and his life and he would struggle to get up because he couldn't use his left side and he'd just start crying and said, Fred, pray and thank God that I had this stroke because light just came in the room. And I've experienced something I haven't experienced in my entire life. I experienced the power of God in my life. And I want to thank that God for what He's doing. If it took me to have a stroke in my life and I came here to hear the Word of God, then that's what I want. And when you was reading that scripture the other day that said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, my father-in-law, after he got done crying and was praying, he said, Fred, is this what the scripture means when it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? I said, that's exactly what it means, Ray, is that the power of God bless me with you coming here and His presence touching you and illuminating your life because I've been praying for you since the day God blessed me with your daughter. Isn't that precious? God does that kind of stuff. So if you think you've prayed for a while and you think that God's not doing anything, He's doing something. It may take Him a little bit, but He's doing something. I went to work about 2 weeks after I talked to my supervisor like that. I don't really understand all this. I talked to Ron about it. I don't understand it all. But my supervisor came up and he says, Fred, I got to talk to you. I said, oh, really? I said, okay, that's kind of interesting. What's going on? Well, he says, it's kind of weird. You broke in. Thinking, did I steal something? What did I break in? He said, you broke into my dreams. And he said, nobody breaks into my dreams. time saying, I hope this was good, Lord. It's one thing to break into a dream, but it's another to have your supervisor telling you about it. It's going to go south. He said, man, Fred, you was out on my property. And she just brought a whole bunch of guys. And he says, they were all cutting wood. Oh, no, they were hunting. He says, they were all, you guys all came out to my property and hunting. He says, I said, Fred, what are you doing? He says, and I called him by name and I said, we've already talked about this. That's one of the last things I told him, Rhett. We've already talked about this situation. So he says, and then he says, Fred, he said, you had a whole bunch of guys, and he said, you were out there just running a bunch of chainsaws on my property. And I said, Fred, you said, Rhett, we've already talked about this. So it's really cool how the Lord, he said, it was all the people from your church. Out there on my property doing stuff. I just told Ron, I felt that was a real blessing. Because he said, what you guys were doing was building a cathedral out there on my property. And I thought, man, that's just amazing how God does things, because he didn't give me the dream. He gave that guy a dream. That God wants to do something in his heart and life. I praise God. And you know what? I just shared this with Ron the other day. I have cut wood on two of the bus driver's property already. Now that is pretty cool. And I never expected to. So God's just amazing. You guys can stand. So I thank the Lord for what He's doing in your life, what He's doing in my life. And for a pal, Ron, did you want to share anything else or anything? Pray or anything? Yeah. Linda?
Can I just bear witness with the Word?
Yeah. Yeah, you can talk without a mic, and the usher's getting you one. Ben is such a helper. All these kids around here are great help. He's getting a battery in it for you, Linda. Linda just wants to share a quick testimony, you guys.
Yeah, it won't be long, I promise.
And Ben's got her set up.
Yeah, okay. Well, Wednesday, before we were going to come out here to have the meetings and that, I'm reading, and I've been reading through the book of John.
Uh-huh.
And I was in John 9,
uh-huh.
The very chapter that you read in.
Uh-huh.
And when I read the first sentence, it said, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind, you know, man,
uh-huh.
blind, born blind, you know,
uh-huh.
from birth.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like the Lord said, I saw you.
Yeah, amen.
I know you.
Amen, amen.
I know all about what's happened. I know why it's happened. And he said, because the works of God are going to be manifest.
Yes, amen.
In you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Is that awesome?
Yeah, that is awesome.
I wanted
that's
you to
precious.
Hear it. I wanted you to hear it, Fred.
Amen,
so anyways,
amen,
thank
Linda.
You for the word.
Yeah. And I just thank Him that His works are going to be manifest in each and every one of us in this place, you guys. Isn't that true? That's what He's wanting, is His works manifest in us so that other people would see. Absolutely, Linda. That's precious. So let's just thank Him, and we're going to ask Him tonight. Where to go? What to do? This 2018, you guys, it's getting darker by the minute in this world. Jesus, thank you for your love. God, you've shed your love and your spirit abroad in each and every one of our hearts and our lives. So that it could be extended to those people, God, that have never felt it. That somebody would step into that place in their life. That their lives for eternity would be changed and transformed. God, that our hearts would be obedient to what you're asking us to do today. No matter, God, whatever it is, we want to be obedient.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want our hearts obedience. God, we want to have a passion that isn't just a passion that goes through emotion. It's a passion that follows through with the things that You ask us to do. God, I'm asking You in the name of Jesus tonight for every person in this place. If there's 90 people in this place tonight, and each person, the Spirit of God would use them to minister to somebody else. Even if it was in the entire year, there'd be 180 people in this room next December. But God, I'm telling You something. The way You filled them boats for Peter and the sons of Zebedee, I got a feeling that You can fill more than just one fish in a boat. You do what You're doing in our lives. You've done such an amazing job with us. God, I'm telling You something. I'm blessed to be a part of this precious family. I'm blessed to be a part of the things that You're doing in every heart and life in this place. God, to be a part of just the power of God and the Spirit of God and the testimonies that's in this place. What a blessing it was to hear Celine's testimony last night about the power of God moving in his life, and to have him stand up and say, "Man, I'm standing for God regardless of the circumstances and situations. I'm going to let other people see the light of the glorious gospel in my life." God, in the name of Jesus, be worshipped tonight. God, I want to thank You for just this anointing, Heavenly Father, that changed my entire body. I told You You would have to for me to do anything tonight. Because I felt, whether it was a war, whether it was just a sickness, whether it was what, but God, it all changed. It all changed, and I knew Your Spirit was saying, "Hey, this is what I want." And so God, in the name of Jesus, thank You for the blessings that You're doing in our lives. Thank You for blessing us with each other. Thank You for blessing us with Your presence, God, that brought us together as a body of the living God of Israel. And God, a little bit above that, it said that a city set on a side of a hill cannot be hid. Illuminating this in such a way that Your Spirit would see this person and that person and this other person in the same light of Your presence. God, I'm praying this for me and my family tonight, that Your presence would get the glory that's due to His name. God, You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. And the only reason my life is illuminated, and the only reason any person in this place's life is illuminated with this presence, is because of You. So God, take that same illuminating power and illuminate others through us. God, our desire and our prayer is that You would illuminate others through our life. We pray in Your righteous name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys. And Lord willing, we'll see you at 9:30 in the morning. You don't have anything else. And then we're going to have another dinner, lunch tomorrow after service up at the community room again. So, what a blessing it's been to fellowship, to have the building right there where we can eat together. All the wonderful cooks that's here, it's a blessing. I've enjoyed it. So, Lord bless you guys. Go in the name of Jesus. We love you. And we'll see the Lord willing in the morning.